You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson and this is episode 80. And my guest today is Ingrid. Now, as you probably know if you've listened to many episodes, we don't usually give any details about the people that come on as guests on the show, as in we don't give their surname, we don't give too much information about what they do. But occasionally people say, look, I felt really comfortable about my dream interpretation and being a guest on your show, and I really would love to tell people a little bit more about me. And so there have been some guests in the past who have said that. And as you know, I've given their links in the top and tail to the episode, or I've given their links on the blog so that you as listeners who've got to know someone during their dream interpretation can go and explore them more. And Ingrid, my guest today, is one of these. As we went through the dream interpretation, because what we do is record that segment first, and then when we finished, I come back and I record the introduction and the end. As we went through, Ingrid, whose story is very, very deep and very, very personal, and who is launching something very, very special, did say towards the end of the interpretation, I'm really comfortable with sharing what I do and inviting people to come and explore. So as you'll hear towards the end of her interpretation, she gives a lot of details. It's extremely interesting, and it's around body image and food and diet and not diet, you know, because Ingrid's history is one of bulimia and other body mind's difficulties. So you can get the full details then, but because she is open to being introduced, I give you now Ingrid Arna, whose website is www.mybodylove.com. So listen to Ingrid's dream, listen to how deeply we go, listen to what comes out of it for her, go visit her website and stay in at the end when I'll talk to you a little bit more. Enjoy. Welcome to the show, Ingrid.
Thank you. How are you? Thank you so much for having me. It's awesome.
It's a pleasure. Okay, I have no idea what you're going to give me, but I do know when we were hooking up just now, you said to me, I had a dream last night. So I have a suspicion that's what you're going to offer up.
Yes. Oh, God. Well, my dream last night was really odd. It was actually a dream of... David Hasselhoff, who I've actually met before at the premiere of Evita in LA. And so he was there with two young children that he had just had with his first wife, who at the moment apparently he's separated to, from. And we were talking about the entertainment industry and... yeah, nothing too much happened really in that conversation, but I think it might link to another dream that I've had, but I don't know whether I should mention that at this stage.
Does last night's dream go on from there, or is that all there was to it?
That's kind of all there was to it. Just a lot of starting to talk about the entertainment industry, which I've actually done in real life. But I did have a dream just recently, and it keeps coming up in my mind, yeah. And I kind of feel like it relates, and that was the one with Tina. It was Tina Fey, the actress, she's a creator of 30 Rock. She's a writer, producer. And anyway, we're walking in Paddington in Brisbane on the street and I bump into her and she wants to have a kind of improv competition with me. So she says, you know, Ingrid, you've got to like create a character. And we on the street have this competition where she creates her character and story and I create mine and we have this full interaction and I'm there sort of in my element, being creative and coming up with spur of the moment conversation and performance. And, before long, we get a whole group of people around us watching and other characters start to come into this sort of street performance. It's just like a deep sense of celebration. I feel very uplifted in that dream. There's been a deep yearning for me with performance because I have a performance background, but I put it on hold in my life. So I moved to New York when I was 20 to actually become an actor, and I studied acting and did off-Broadway, and then I got really sick with a pretty bad eating disorder and ended up having a few surgeries related to my chronic eating disorder. And I put all of that on hold and really had to dedicate my life at that point to my own healing. And I've put my acting career and ambitions on hold, but it's a real issue for me. Like, I can't let it go, and I feel very torn, and I try to, you know, find ways to kind of be at peace with that. And recently I wrote a short film, and but there isn't a yearning there and a sort of something to do maybe with blocked creativity or my insecurity about performance. I don't know, but
well, we'll explore the dream and we'll find out.
Okay.
That's really great. Yeah. Thanks for all the background too. So the Tina Fey dream came first, and then the David Hasselhoff one was last night. How long ago did you say the Tina Fey one was?
About maybe two to three weeks ago.
Okay. We're going to start with that one, and then we'll work from that forward into the David Hasselhoff one, which really helps us to go deeper into some of the things that you've just mentioned there, and then we'll tie it all together.
Perfect.
Ingrid, a dream always reflects the last 24 to 48 hours.
Okay.
All right. And so whatever came up for you in the 24 to 48 hours, consciously or unconsciously, is processed in that dream. And sometimes those issues touch on the past, which is why then the dream might refer to things from the past. It's like saying, what's happening for me now is happening because there are issues in the past that relate to this. So that's, you know, some of the stuff we're going to be going through. But looking at the Tina Fey dream, which you had 2 to 3 weeks ago, means that the first up, we'll be talking about what was happening for you 2 or 3 weeks ago. Okay. So if we can relate to that. Now, you mentioned you met Tina Fey in Paddington. Is Paddington where you live now, or is that a dream place?
That's where I live now.
Okay, so that's like right at home. And if you could describe Tina Fey in her personality, which three words would you use to describe her kind of personality or her approach to life?
Provocative.
Mm-hmm.
Confident.
Mm-hmm.
And creative.
And creative. Does she have any negative attributes, this beautiful woman?
Yeah, she does have a few insecurities, especially her character in the TV show.
Yeah.
She's always trying to kind of get ahead in her career, and she's battling a lot of a very male-dominated industry. So she has a boss that's kind of condescending, and she's always trying to please him. So there is an insecurity there. And she's got a few battles in her love life as well, like in terms of commitment and deep intimacy.
Yeah. Okay, that's great. Because everyone in a dream to some extent reflects something about the dreamer. Because, you know, I might know Tina Fey, and, you know, somebody else might know Tina Fey, and we all might see her through different eyes. So how you see her tells us something about you when it's in your dream. So your dreaming brain is going, my experiences of the last 2 days. It's kind of like something like Tina Fey. So we're going to go into some of those areas. But what is lovely in the dream is it's such, as you say, such a positive, uplifting dream. And you're really not only finding your character, but you're bringing in all these people from the street either to take part in the play that you're doing or to watch. So because everyone in a dream is an aspect of yourself, and because in that dream you're bringing in all these other people either as co-performers or as your audience, you know, and you've got to have an audience, this suggests that at the time of the dream you were actually going through quite an integrative process yourself. You were actually beginning to bring back on board aspects of your personality, particularly in a creative sense, that you'd kind of lost touch with. And because you've described to us that there, that, you know, over your life you had to let go quite early on of your performance, and that's still been lingering, and you've still been yearning to somehow bring that back, and clearly that's kind of in the dream there, it suggests that 2 or 3 weeks ago you found some kind of way to start to unconsciously to start to feel comfortable about bringing that back into your life in some way.
Yeah, I just worked out a link there. Yep, definitely.
Okay, so I might ask you about the link later, but I'll go a little bit more first.
Okay.
What I love about that dream is that, you know, between you and Tina Fey, what you're doing is creating a character. So it's coming up with something brand new, something different. And you have the, you know, you're in the empowering position of creating that character. It's not like you've got a director in that dream that's saying, Tina, you're playing this character. Ingrid, you're playing this character. You're not getting instructions. You're coming up with what you want to play yourself, you know, and you're doing it by involving all these other aspects. So there's something happening in your life 2 or 3 weeks ago whereby you are in a really empowered position where you are choosing how to, literally how to be in the world. You're choosing your character, which we all do on a day-to-day basis. But, you know, there are some times when we leap forward in leaps and bounds and become much larger than we were before. And that's the essence of your dream. You're bringing in so many other aspects of yourself. It's like you're becoming much larger, much, much deeper, much richer in many ways, and that dream is reflecting you allowing yourself to do that. And then the aspects you bring into that, you know, you see Tina as provocative, as confident and creative, and so that's reflecting at the time of this dream, which you felt uplifting. It was like, yeah, hey, I, Ingrid, I'm being more provocative now, I'm feeling more confident, I'm being creative, and I like using those aspects of my personality to really build, you know, who I am in the world and how I want to be seen and how I want to perform, not necessarily in a kind of acting situation, but how I want to perform and as in how I want to run my life.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and then underlying that, you see, you know, there's always the sort of negative things, is, you know, because then a person would say, well, okay, Ingrid, if it was all that positive, how come you didn't do it before? What was special about that night, that dream? Why are you suddenly ready to do those things? So then you look at the kind of the underbelly of Tina's character as you see it. And as you say, you know, insecurities, wanting to get ahead, but kind of battling a male-dominated world or some relationship issues and things like that, which suggests to me that, you know, you're getting the show on the road in the dream, and it may be, again, at the time of the dream, 2 or 3 weeks ago, that you were finally beginning to turn around some issues within yourself around insecurity that related to wanting to get ahead but finding yourself in a male-dominated world. How are we going so far?
It's just unbelievable. Like, it's so accurate. And I was doing a speaking course at that point, and it was so invigorating and empowering for me to use my voice and my, like you were saying about no one there is directing me. Like, it's my content, it's my message, it's my story. And to take up that space, whilst on the outside to many people, I look quite confident and together, I shut down that part of myself in terms of the performance, because really when I'm public speaking, I have the opportunity to use all the skills that I did learn and that do come relatively natural for me, but I shut down because of my insecurity and probably I have a few father issues, like, you know, don't do this, don't do that, and I limited myself. So what you're saying just is so insightful and intuitive and right on. I mean, that's just amazing. And I felt so on top of the world doing that course, because I had a forum, a safe forum to practice and to revisit that girl when I was like 20 years of age.
Mm.
You know, before all the, I don't know if I can swear on this story, but before everything hit the fan, you know? Because it certainly did, you know?
That's absolutely wonderful. We're going to go into that in a little bit more depth in a minute, because that is just so beautiful. But I want to follow it, first of all, by moving forward in time to your David Hasselhoff dream, because you know, that dream was relevant to the last couple of days because you had it last night. And I'm intrigued because, you know, you picked the connection. It's meeting another actor. But I'm intrigued because he's male, you know, particularly after what you just said there about, you know, the process of getting through life with a dominating father and, you know, taking on some of those beliefs about what you can't do this and you can't do that. And so you're obviously in the process of throwing that off from everything that you've just been through and explained there. And so I have a feeling that last night's dream with David Hasselhoff is kind of exploring and plucking out some last bits about that. So we're just going to have a little talk about that and then put it all together on a much bigger level, okay?
Perfect.
So David Hasselhoff, you said you did actually meet once in LA at a premiere.
Yes, I did. So he asked me, am I an actress? And it was the Evita premiere with the movie with Madonna. and it was this huge extravaganza, and I was there, and I went up to him and introduced myself, and he asked me if I'm an actor, and I thought, my God, I never want to go on TV in a bikini or a pair of togs. So I said, no, I'm not. I'm interested in production, or, you know, the behind the scenes. And I actually got an internship at Baywatch. I could actually go fully clothed and keep my body hidden. So I went there and enjoyed that experience. It was great. I learned, you know, quite a bit. And that was kind of the sum of it, really.
So before we go into the dream, in a sense that you kind of remember David Hasselhoff as the moment where you denied that you were an actor.
Yeah.
That even though good things came from it and you had good reasons for saying that, it was a point where you said, I'm not an actor. And
yes.
Then went on for quite a few years to kind of wish that you had followed the acting a bit more.
So yes.
That's a key point, yeah. And it's interesting that that you actually met him at a premiere to it, a launch of something. It's kind of like launching. Now, these two children that he had in the dream, were they girls or boys?
Two young girls, about, and I have a sister, I don't know that relates, but about sort of 8 to 10, maybe, or maybe 10 and 11, 12 or something like that.
Okay, so there were 8 to 10 to 12. Now, what you do with children in a dream, or anybody in a dream actually, but hey, these are children, is that when you've got a gut feel for their age and you've said maybe 8 to 10 or maybe 10 to 12, did you say 10 to 12 or 10 to 11? 10 to 12.
Yeah, 10 to sort of 12. And actually, that's when my parents got separated too. I don't know. And I have a sister. But anyway, yep.
Your parents got separated when 10 to 12
I
years
was 12.
Ago? Or when you were 12, okay.
Yeah.
Right. Because there are several aspects that we take, or avenues we take with ages in a dream. And commonly, although I'm going to come back to the one that you mentioned there, commonly we say, okay, these children in the dream were aged 8 to 10 or 10 to 12. So what has been in your life 8 to 10 years or 10 to 12 years, just like the children have been in the world for 8 to 10 years or 10 to 12 years? So I'm going to come back to your parents separating one. But if I just say to you now, what happened for you? What's been in your life for 8 to 10 years? So that's 2000.
What's been in my life constantly, or what happened during that time? Like 10, like I would have been 24.
Yeah.
So is it something that's been in my life for that amount of time, or something that happened?
Let's make it easier and say what happened 8 to 10 years ago.
I had, I was diagnosed with benign cancer, a tumor. In my uterus, and I almost lost my life, and I had 3 surgeries, and I was misdiagnosed, and it was a pretty harrowing, horrible experience. So
you were misdiagnosed because you didn't actually have cancer?
No, I didn't. I probably won't go into too much what it was, but it was misdiagnosed, and what happened was I ended up having like a abscess in my uterus the size of a rock melon.
Okay.
Cantaloupe, you know, like a huge. And it wasn't until the operation, I hemorrhaged in the operation where they went in, and they actually had to cut me open because this whole mass just burst, and I ended up getting like a bacteria blood poisoning through my system, and I ended up having 3 operations, and it crushed my fallopian tubes. And actually that's when I really went into a lot of big healing, and I kind of came up with a word, kind of Body Love, which is my company, but it came up, it was like a mantra, it was like a word of, a healing word for me, and that's when I got deep into prayer and visualization and started to really address my emotional issues, so.
Fantastic, so that's, well, you know what I mean when I say fantastic, looking at the positive side, I'm going to go into that as well. So we've gone, okay, that started 8 years ago. If we take the other child, before coming back to explore that more, the other child you saw as 10 to 12 years old. So what happened in your life 12 years ago? That would have been...
So what happened 12 years ago?
1998.
Yeah, sort of was what I just... Oh, 12 years ago, 1998. Sort of that was, because what the situation that I just mentioned then, that was sort of what I was saying happened 12 years ago.
Oh, that was 12 years ago. Okay.
Yeah.
And 10 years ago?
Oh.
Because the other child was 8 to 10. So, like, what happened 8 to 10 years
ago? I would say maybe I got more into my company, which is founding Body Love. And I really left behind any kind of performance whatsoever.
Yes.
I had a lot of family trauma during that time too, because I didn't get a lot of help. And I also was living in the United States and had returned home. So I never expected to return to Australia full time. I was living in the United States. So I ended up returning and basing myself in Australia. And actually I moved to Sydney at that point and started doing a bit of writing for the Sydney Morning Herald.
Mm-hmm.
And I launched this t-shirt company.
So what you're saying there, even though that was an awful lot of traumatic stuff, Ingrid, was that you're 8 to 10 years ago, what's really hitting home there is you're saying, that's when I moved to Sydney and got into writing and the t-shirts.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Okay, putting that together, I will ask you a bit more about David Hasselhoff. No, I should ask you a bit, sorry, listeners, but I've got to ask one more question. David Hasselhoff, although you've given us some background on him, can we give him the Tina Fey treatment? What three words would you use to describe his personality?
Oh, okay, yeah. Let's get inside it. Let me see. Oh, God. I sort of always look at him as a bit arrogant. He's successful. He's like got a lot of confidence and entrepreneurial.
Okay. So his downside is arrogant in your opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So what we've got there in this follow-up dream, and there's so much to go into here and it's so exciting, is that he, like Tina is confident and creative, and that David is confident and successful. And entrepreneurial, which is creative, but his point of difference is that he's arrogant, and arrogant in your eyes, and arrogant, of course, links back, you know, in many people's eyes to male-dominated stuff.
Yes,
that's the key issue, really, isn't it?
Yes,
probably.
What issues, thank you.
Was your dad arrogant?
What was that?
Was your dad arrogant?
Oh my God. Very just, you know, he's Russian. He's quite strong in his opinions, and a little bit male chauvinistic probably.
Mm. Okay, so what your dream did last night was it went basically, me and my unconscious, we're very happy. We're like Tina Fey here. We're going ahead. We're really delighted, you know. But last night when it went, there's still this, what if people, instead of seeing me like Tina Fey / Ingrid, what if people saw me like David Hasselhoff, you know, successful, confident, entrepreneurial, because I, Ingrid, am all those things. But doesn't arrogant usually go along with that? So that's kind of where we're coming back to. The issues with your dad and, you know, and when you were younger and seeing that in Tina, the insecurity around battling it, trying to get ahead in a male-dominated industry. So he's really back last night to go, okay, if you're going to really get through this, Ingrid, and really break through in this new, successful, confident, entrepreneurial, creative, provocative way, we've got to knock arrogant on the head, because there's some part of your unconscious mind that says, yeah, but arrogant goes with that and I don't want to be there. And it may be that you have stepped out of the out of performance, not only for many of the things that you mentioned there, but also for deep rootedly for fear of arrogance, you know, being seen as egocentric, those kind of things which are associated with arrogance.
Yeah.
So what I love about David is he has two children, and they're girls, which is like we're back in the feminine, the creative, intuitional, spiritual side here. And what it's saying is that things have moved on. Since you actually met David Hasselhoff, two beautiful things have been introduced into your life, though they may not have felt beautiful at the time. And one of these was 8 to 10 years ago, and one was 10 to 12 years ago. And these are the gifts that you're revisiting in the dream and basically dealing with and integrating into where you're going now. So putting some of that stuff together that you told me about earlier about, you know, when 12 years ago you were misdiagnosed with cancer of the uterus, and that they eventually did find something in your uterus, but it wasn't a cancer and you had the abscess. You know, all the focus in your body was on the uterus, which, of course, is the place of creativity. We reproduce babies from our uterus. It is the ultimate symbol, if you pick any symbol of the human body in a female, of creativity, although most people might pick the right brain, actually it's the uterus.
Yeah.
And it, particularly, you know, down that low in the body, it's like your gut feel, your intuitive creativity. But 12 years ago, when you had all these problems with your uterus, if on a mind, body, emotional level, and I'm sure this is a lot of the stuff that you've gone into yourself, it's more like there is the block of the creativity. I've got this stuff that I want to birth into the world. That's your intuitive creativity. But instead of it being birthed into the world, it's first misdiagnosed as a block, a big lump of cancer. But actually, it was a big watermelon type size thing that was causing an abscess. So in other words, this was your creative block that was causing you a lot of pain, and eventually, as you say, like even crushed your fallopian tubes, had that whole area of creativity was impacted by your feelings of pain. That's the abscess, and feeling hurt and in emotional pain around your creativity being blocked. And it was probably blocked because you were concerned about being seen as arrogant, or having to, you know, the only way to get ahead in life is to be like those men out there, like David Hasselhoff.
Yeah.
And so you were holding back. And that's why in waking life, out of the dream, in waking the life, you may have thought there were other reasons, like I'm not going to be an actor in a bikini, thank you very much, that made you deny that you were an actor. But it may, on a deeper unconscious level, have been more, I'm not going there. I'm not going. Acting performance equals arrogant equals egocentric. That's not me. I'm going to be in the background.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah. I think it also links to probably, I don't know if you'd agree, but my body image and my self-image issues. Like, you know, I have a polarity between, you know, maybe not feeling good enough and being exposing myself like in a bikini, which by the way, I looked great. Or, but I didn't realize that at the time, I had a lot of, you know, insecurity around that. Or also thinking, I don't want to get a, you know, I'm pretty flat-chested. I don't want to get a boob job. I'm not having, you know, sort of rebelling against the industry. I will not do that to my body by having plastic surgery.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes I feel like with the male thing as well, I'm in a bit of a, you know, a fight. You know, I'm fighting to create my own rules, to be true to myself, to not buy into the social ideal of all this stuff, which I've battled with myself. Thank God now, so many years on, I'm totally good with that. But yeah, at that point, I would have had real issues there. And the whole concept of fight, that fight struggle thing, I think perpetuated that, no doubt, within my, you know, in terms of my illness and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love through all of this that, you know, one of the first breakthroughs, like represented by the 8 to 10 year old in the dream, even though it was preceded with a lot of trauma, with family trauma, with leaving the US, not realizing you were leaving the US, but ended in this really quite creative thing of getting back into, or starting the writing and starting the T-shirt company. So it's like it was the emergence of an unblocked creativity. It came out in a different way, not center stage in a performance kind of way, but in another way of expressing yourself. And as I'm sure you will have explored, because I know that you are a body image expert and help people in this area, that, you know, being lacking confidence in how you look in a bikini or whatever, even when you look wonderful, and connecting everything to your physical body is also related to how you feel about yourself. You know, when you're confident about yourself, you know, your inner self, it doesn't matter.
Completely.
You know, what it's like. Yeah, you're happy. So there's a sense that through the writing and the T-shirts, that kind of breakthrough in Sydney was the emergence of a new creativity that probably eventually began to deal with a lot of these issues and brought you to the beautiful point which I see you are now in these two dreams, or particularly in last night's dream, of finally, even though consciously you've banged this arrogance, male stuff on the head a long time, your dream last night suggests that unconsciously you've really done the final the final face down of this.
So does that mean I've had a breakthrough?
It looks like it to me, but what we'll do is we'll discuss that a bit more, and then we'll do some dream alchemy to actually make sure that you have. But it seems to me that, you know, the Tina Fey dream was pretty much a breakthrough, but then it's like there's this umbilical cord still holding you back because of this yeah, but what if I'm seen as arrogant? And that's what last night's dream was. And last night's dream was really, yeah, but look, you know, you may have denied you were an actor early on for all these other reasons, the body image reasons and all of that, and for all good reasons. But look what's come out of this 8 to 10 years ago, 10 to 12 years ago. It was a horrible journey. But like many horrible journeys, there are, you know, gifts that you would never have received if you hadn't been through them. And your dream last night was really recognizing that and then saying, OK, so let's deal with this fear of being seen as arrogant or having to be seen as operating in the world in male kind of business sense on the head once and for all and emerge. So given that you met David at a launch out of dream, and given that you were dancing with Tina and finding your character, are you at the moment about to launch something?
Yes, I am. I come up with a new course, and I'm actually doing my first speaking event that I've ever done on Sunday, so that's a really big thing for me. And I'm also about to submit my book proposal to a big publisher and a big agent, so there's a lot going on right at this moment.
Launch, that's fantastic.
Yeah,
do you feel that you've had a breakthrough in the last few days?
That's a good question. I've had a few really full-on things go down personally, one with my mother, which this has basically disinherited me and had a huge thing, but it was a way of me to say I will not be controlled and told how to behave as a woman.
Good.
She doesn't like the provocative side of me, and I will not be told at my age or by anybody how to behave. So we had a bit of a falling out, but in summary with your question, I do think I have. I feel free. I feel connected to my worth and to my voice. I just went for a hike and I was doing all this clearing through my throat chakra because I feel ready to really speak my truth, to speak my experience from a powerful place to help other women. So I think I've had a lot of issue. And when you said before about the arrogance, you know, that what came up for me was, and I checked by that belief, and I do have it, which is, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are to achieve? Who do you think you are to stand in that power? But who am I not? And I obviously have that belief, so I'm going to get rid of it.
And I'm here to help you do that.
Right.
And everybody listening in, isn't she a wonderful speaker? I'll ask you some more about that later. Beautiful impassioned speech there.
Yes, a call to arms. You've given me an opportunity to talk.
I love it. Okay, so picking out of several things there that you said, wonderful transitionary outcome there, even though, you know, you've had a falling out or a disinheriting from your mum, it was over. You finally, you know, making the break with your dad, really, there with what he taught you, and presumably with your mum's expectations that you should, you know, follow the kind of expectations of your dad, even though she's long separated from him. So that, you know, you were really making the break with that there. And I loved what you said there about she doesn't like me being provocative. And I thought, oh, that's interesting, because with Tina Fey, you saw provocative as a positive trait, you know, value. Yeah. And I guess, you know, when you're dealing with an issue like long-term feelings about arrogance, dealing with arrogance of other people and dealing with, I don't want to be seen to be arrogant myself, you know, and, oh dear, do I have to be arrogant in order to go forward, and all of that. Sometimes it's like the thing that comes to mind, like fighting fire with fire, you know, if there's arrogance, then I will be provocative, you know, where provocative can be a positive thing if it's like provoking people to bring out the best in themselves, but maybe there's a gentler way I'm trying to avoid sense, but I'll say anyway, a gentler way to be defensive about arrogance.
yeah.
And it may be that as you deal with that and use the positives of a provocativeness, if there's such a word, to impassion your audiences when you're speaking. It's great to provoke people to better, bigger and better things, and absolutely do not lose that. That is fantastic. And also to measure when you might use provocativeness in a situation where you might be trying to defend yourself against arrogance, and just say, is there another way Is there another way to deal with this? Because I'm actually provoking the person's arrogance more. So that's something to look at. But, you know, fantastic breakthroughs. And as you say, doing all that wonderful work on your throat chakra and the clearing, because who are you not to be this beautiful character that you've worked out with Tina Fey along the way?
That's so interesting, and how it's all linked with being arrogant and provocative. Does it link also to how other people see me? Am I worried about? Okay, because when I stand in my power, right, sometimes I feel like some women get a little uncomfortable. They like it, but they can also be a bit uncomfortable. And maybe I'm concerned about them. I don't want people to think that I'm arrogant by being in my power. So exactly. I diminish sometimes myself, which I find just literally, it's actually causes me more pain. So I can't do it anymore, because it's like taking away my true nature.
Yeah. What you're doing there, you're so onto it. What you're doing there is unconsciously still listening to your dad's voice of who are you, you know, and other people will judge you for this, because women shouldn't be strong and standing in their power.
Oh my God. He said to me, don't be too much. No one will ever want to be with you. No one will ever want to love you. Men will be intimidated by you. Don't be too much.
And you know, even though you know that consciously now, you've made that connection, unconsciously you believe that, because you know you were taught that from a very early age as a little girl.
So
that's still there. And of course we all do this, you know, you're not the only person that we all do this. You have absolutely no idea what other people think of you.
No,
you know, you stand there and you think, oh, they must be judging me for being too powerful. And that's your unconscious voice. That's your dad's voice saying, they're judging you for being too powerful. You have no idea. You have no way of knowing what they think of you. And most likely what you're doing, judging by that impassioned speech that you made about 5 minutes ago about who do you think you are? Well, who do you think you are not to be who you are? You did that so beautifully. You know, if people are judgmental at all, they're going to be a very small minority compared to the people that step over the line and go, yeah, you're right. Why aren't I the person to do, you know, and you? We can never stop our own progress and creativity by pausing to wonder how other people might judge us. That's not what we're here for. We're not here to protect other people's feelings. We're not here to worry about other people's judgments. We might be here to provoke them gently or passionately or otherwise to change their point of view, but we're not here to bend who we are to suit what we think other people think of us.
Really? You know, is that true? Because I think I hear what you're saying and I agree with what you're saying, but I'm like thinking, oh my God, I really actually do always try to shift myself in order to accommodate others.
There's a difference between shifting yourself to accommodate others. And I think, you know, nearly every woman alive has either does that or has done it in the past, because it's how we're brought up. But there's a difference between shifting yourself to accommodate others and finding a way to negotiate a win-win situation with others.
Totally.
And it comes down to equality issues as well, which, you know, goes so deep.
Mm.
So these are the issues that you're feeling. You know, you're launching stuff now and you're obviously launching it brilliantly and you come across as confident and all these things. And what we want to make sure is that there's no remnants whatsoever of an unconscious belief within you that you better not be too powerful because everybody's going to be turned away from you and nobody's going to love you, which goes back to the body image stuff as well. We want to bang that on the head, because it's a total fabrication, as you said earlier, of male-dominated society. And the trouble with our unconscious mind is that even though we may intelligently and consciously, as you're doing now, go with awareness, oh, isn't that interesting? Until you actually change the unconscious belief, and that's what I'm going to help you to do, it lives on terribly powerfully. And, you know, we actually tend to make our decisions in waking life according to our unconscious beliefs without even realizing we're doing them. You know, so you might get up on stage and give an impassioned speech, but it will have tinges of, but, you know, I better not be too empowered because, you know, you won't love me. So what we do with that, Ingrid, is we do what I call a dream alchemy practice. And so, you know, I know that through your work, you'll be, and through the life journey that you've been through, you'll be familiar with doing visualizations and those kind of things. And what Dream Alchemy does is take that approach quite a lot deeper. Whereas in an everyday visualization, you are visualizing things around your conscious world. You pick a conscious goal, you visualize it, or a conscious state of being, and you visualize it. What we do with Dream Alchemy is we use these symbols from your dreams, which are the language of your unconscious mind, and we do the visualization with those symbols. So what we're doing is we're basically reprogramming your unconscious mind by talking to it in its own language.
Fabulous.
Okay. So in your case, what we want to do with that is, and I'll run it past you first to make sure we're in agreement. Let me just think. I think we want to do something like working with your dream images. David Hasselhoff is a wonderful dream character, except for his arrogance. And his children are probably, in the dream, are probably also wonderful, beautiful females, but they maybe they live in fear of being too empowered, just in case, you know. So what I'm envisaging is some kind of visualization where you're in the dream from last night and you go up to David and he asks you, Ingrid, are you an actor? And you say, yes, I am. I'm not only an actor, but I'm an amazing performer, and I'm just launching this new business, and I'm getting out and speaking on stage. And, oh, what beautiful children you've got. And he says to you, and this is all in a visualization, he says to you, yes, you know what these children have done to me? They've been such a blessing. I've just totally lost my arrogance since they've been born. I am a transformed person, and my life has just gone from success to success after this. And you look at these two little children, and they're like, totally beautiful, empowered, but also still soft and lovely females. Now, that's actually quite intense for a visualization. So because you said you're a writer, I'm going to change that, because Dream Alchemy can be a visualization. It can also be a writing exercise. And or a number of other modalities can be body work too. So I'm actually going to shift that and say, if you're comfortable with that kind of turnaround, write a one-page story, which is a rewrite of the dream along the lines that I've done it. And what you're that I suggested to you, and what you're really doing there is rewriting the story of your unconscious mind to remove any unconscious beliefs about arrogance blocking, or being seen as arrogant, or being seen as too empowering, blocking your creativity and self-expression from now forward. Does that make any sense to you?
Oh yeah, it's great.
Without me repeating that, because I'm happy to repeat it if you need more clarity.
No.
Do you know what to do?
Yeah, I get it. So by actually rewriting it, I'm kind of repatterning my unconscious mind to shift my habits. Is that right?
That's exactly right, yes.
Okay.
And you, because you have a range of modalities at your fingertips, you can add to that and enhance the exercise in any way you wish. But simply writing the page, and then maybe because you are a performance artist, you can stand, it doesn't have to be in public, but, you know, stand imagining you're in public in a quiet area of your room and actually perform the writing in front of you, either reading it out or perform it in some other way that you will enjoy, so that you really move it in a sense into your physical being and, you know, move your body in ways that you as an actor and performer know how to do, so that you actually bring the new emotions and the emotions associated with the new beliefs that you expect to have. In other words, emotions of feeling empowered and feeling good about that.
Yep, great.
Into that performance. And you'll find as you do that, and you may want to do the performance aspect of that Dream Alchemy a few times, you'll find it just really, it seems such a simple exercise. Dream Alchemy always seems overly simple, but it actually works at an incredibly deep level, and you find yourself, You find the old barriers just melting. They're just not there anymore. You respond differently. You'll find when you get up on stage that thought of people judging you just won't be there anymore. That thought of, oh, I better not be too powerful, just won't be there anymore. And at any time on or off stage that you just want that extra bit of confidence, just run the feeling that you get when you do this Dream Alchemy performance yourself, run that feeling through your body before you start.
Yes. Oh, wow. I will. It's very, I can tell how powerful that would be. I'm going to create a stage for myself, and I'm going to act it out with my partner.
That's absolutely fantastic. What I'm going to suggest at this stage, because I've really enjoyed your dream, and I know, you know, an awful lot of people would have got so much from this and would probably want to know more. So I'm going to invite you, if you feel comfortable, to give us a few more details about your launch on your website so that listeners can come in and get to know you and what you've got to offer, and explore everything that you powerfully are some more. So have my stage right now. Off you go.
Okay, great. Well, hi, everybody. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have gotten something out of it in terms of listening to my story. I'm sure you have. But what I am doing, I'm a body image expert, and in Brisbane this coming Sunday, if you want to email me at ingrid@mybodylove.com, I can give you more details. But we're running a full-day pamper event for women only, and it's an opportunity for you to come and meet lots of other women, have complimentary healing sessions with me, and also to hear me speak about a course that I'm launching called The Pleasure Manifesto, which basically takes women out of the diet mentality so we can learn to use a new type of process that will help us pick the right foods for our own body type, have nourishing foods that raise our vibration. We're going to also learn how to get rid of and shift our beliefs around food, around body image, so that we can come back to a really deep sense of pleasure. After being on diets for almost 10 years constantly, I've used this process myself, and I was able to ignite my metabolism, improve my digestive system. I eat more food now than I ever have, and I look slimmer, healthier, more radiant. I'm energized, and for me, after having, you know, a huge eating disorder, being bulimic and whatnot, it's pretty revolutionary. And I'm on a mission to share my knowledge with women everywhere. And I will be running a course in November as well, a 2-hour class, which is pretty inexpensive. So women from all around the world can email me and get more information on the November class via teleclass.
That's absolutely fantastic. Beautifully delivered. Well done. So just reinforcing that, everybody, if you're listening on the day this comes out and you're in Brisbane, there, you know, you can go to the event and email Ingrid about that. And if you're listening to it any day from, you know, Saturday, Sunday onwards over the next few years, I'm sure that after listening to Ingrid, you know that her mybodylove.com is only going to go from strength to strength. And as she said there, there's stuff for you wherever you live in the world. So go along and have a look. And thanks so much, Ingrid, for sharing your dream with us today.
Yes, thank you for having me. I feel so amazing. And I'll have to work with you again, because I've never really experienced such sort of profound information like that. I just find it mind-blowing, actually.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So you've got plenty of places to go and investigate and explore now, haven't you? And, of course, the same goes for staying in touch with me. Get onto my Facebook page, meet people there, find out what's happening. If it goes to Facebook first, get onto my blog at janetereza.com. You can subscribe to the blog by email if you prefer that than RSS. And of course, you can encourage all your friends to continue to listen to the podcast show simply by going to iTunes and searching for The Dream Show and downloading us there. And if you'd like to be on the guest on the show, if you'd like to be like Ingrid and come on and perhaps tell us a little bit more about what you do, as well as having a deep and meaningful dream interpretation, that's great. And if you are not like Ingrid, but you'd like to come onto the show anonymously, even perhaps using a different name from your own, simply to enjoy getting a deep and meaningful reading on your dream, and also enjoy the feeling of sharing with all our listeners who can all learn so much from eavesdropping on a dream interpretation. Thank you for being with me for yet another episode, and I'll see you next week for what will be episode 81. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsite. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsite Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.